Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for these daily challenges. And today's Wednesday, so we take a topic we've been looking at all week, and we see how the Bible's words on it challenge and transform our thinking. And this week we're looking at moving from strangers to neighbors, and how Jesus' command to love our neighbors as ourselves was quite expansive. And the story he used to illustrate it, the story of the Good Samaritan, showed that neighbor included even a sworn enemy, even another people group who Jesus' people group, the Israelites, normally avoided. I can only imagine when a religious lawyer asked Jesus to clarify exactly who he meant by neighbor, how Jesus' followers might have chuckled a little bit and been so much better prepared for this than that religious lawyer. He hadn't been following Jesus around for as long as they had, and so he probably had no idea that Jesus had already said things like, love your enemy, turn the other cheek. If somebody asks you to walk a mile with their stuff, walk a second mile. If he wants one piece of clothing, give him another. Jesus had already made so clear in his Sermon on the Mount how important it was to love not just our friends, but our enemies. In fact, I love where Jesus said it so clearly in the Sermon on the Mount when he said this. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. Jesus was making the obvious point that loving your friends is easy. It's nothing special. Anybody can do that. Anybody can love people who are just like them. But what Jesus was advocating was something a little different. It was to love those who hate you, to love those who are your enemies, as if they are your friends, as if they are the easy ones to love. Now, of course, loving our neighbors like this, even our enemies, is difficult. It's risky. It feels messy. It makes us feel vulnerable. Just think about our physical neighbors. Getting to know our physical neighbors, the people next door or across the street, sometimes means facing our fears. Our fears that if we get too close to people, we might not like what we find there, or they might not like what they find in us. It means challenging some of our misunderstandings of people. Sometimes it's easier to assume something based on the things we see our neighbors doing or saying, rather than actually getting to know them and finding out what really makes them tick, truly coming to understand somebody. Now, of course, this also challenges our isolation, and isolation is something we really need to wrestle with in suburbia, because it can be so easy to become isolated, even in a neighborhood, in a community. So many suburban homes are filled with busy commuting people who race home at the end of the day after long hours at work and can drive right into our garages and close our garage doors without seeing anybody, speaking to anybody. And we can actually be very isolated, even from our neighbors right next door. So challenging our fears, challenging our misunderstandings, and challenging our isolation is what becoming good neighbors is all about. And it opens us up to a whole new kind of community, a whole new kind of friendship, a whole new level of rootedness in a place, and all the benefits that that brings. I heard about one mayor who said the following to some church leaders in his community. He said, the majority of issues our community is facing would be eliminated or drastically reduced if we could just figure out a way to become a community of great neighbors. It was highly embarrassing for some church leaders to hear that coming from the mayor of their city, because after the mayor left, they turned to one another and said, wow, I'm embarrassed, are you? We're supposed to be the ones talking about loving our neighbors, and we just got told that we haven't been loving our neighbors. Church leaders who were told that by the mayor of their town found a new commitment to loving their neighbors and encouraging the members of their churches to love their neighbors as themselves. Now, you might wonder why I'm talking so much about our physical neighbors, the people next door or across the street or behind us, when Jesus' command was so expansive. He said, love even your enemies as yourself. The problem is that can sometimes be a way to get out of following Jesus' commandment. When we hear that it includes loving our enemies, we think, well, I'm supposed to love the entire world. And we can actually miss loving those who are closest to us because we're thinking this is a global, universal reality. But we have to start somewhere. And a great place to start is with the people right next to us. To learn to love our neighbors who are closest to us, who are fairly close to us, maybe in terms of life stage or education or income, start there. Learn to love those people, because it's still not going to be easy. And then to gradually expand our circles of love, to grow them larger and larger. Loving our enemies is hard, it is messy, it is risky, it's vulnerable. And we can let that scare us off from loving any neighbors. So we're going to start here with the easy ones, and then we'll move into other groups later. So what I want you to do is to take on a bit of a challenge today. Take a piece of paper and write out a grid with 9 squares in it. You can find one available in PDF form in our website or app. Find it there to download and print out, or maybe annotate on your device. Whatever works for you, but basically you need a grid with 9 spaces. The middle is you. You should end up with 8 more spaces around you. And what we want to do is think of that as your neighborhood. It's probably going to be your physical neighborhood where you live. It might be apartments on either side of you. It might be houses, one behind, one in front, across the street, next door. Or depending on what stage of life you're in, it might be a dorm. It might be a cubicle in an office. But whatever it is, put yourself in the middle. And what I want you to do is write down 3 things in each quadrant. So for the house next door, I want you to write down the names of the people who live there, 1 fact you know about them, and then thirdly, something you know of depth about them. One of their dreams or hopes or fears, something that's really going on in their life that you didn't learn the first time you met them. I want you to fill that in for as many of your neighbors as you can. Write down their name, 1 thing you know about them, and 1 thing of depth you know about them. Fill that in. We'll talk tomorrow about how well you do, because I'm sure the majority of you are not going to know all of those things about each of your neighbors. But we're going to use this exercise throughout our series on what it means to be great neighbors. Well, have fun filling in that challenge. Maybe you can do it with a group. It could be a lot of fun. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.